We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Be Thursday to you. It is a Thursday draft day, April 25 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we're back live at the Tap Room River Ranch on 1037 The Game. Ben Love with you here. No rhythms on the river tonight. No problem. My main man, Corey Lynn Langy, will be here later tonight at 8 o'clock, but more on that later. For the next 2.5 hours, we're on this journey. Me, you, and the famous Clint D. From inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. You finally made it. It's April 25th. It's the first of three straight days of draft glory. I'll tell you the same thing now that I do every single year at this time. I get why they chopped it up and made it a three-day event. Two of those three being prime time at night. I get it. There's some appeal to nights like tonight. But if the Saints aren't drafting, if your favorite team's not drafting, then maybe it loses a little bit of its appeal. By and large, I'll still take the Mad Dash Saturday-Sunday format. But we got what we got. And tonight, 32 picks are going to be made. You've got a handful of teams. Green Bay, the New York Giants, Seattle, Oakland. You've got a slew of teams that will be going more than once tonight. Oakland actually drafting three times. But I do think there's going to be a pretty substantial movement up the board. I get the feeling, although it probably won't be up to number one. I don't think anybody's going to take Kyler Murray away from Arizona at this point. But I think you're going to see some movement. I think you're going to see quarterbacks, as always, be at a premium. And people are going to move up to want Dwayne Haskins, to want Daniel Jones, to want Drew Locke. And some of these guys are going to go in spots that you never dreamed possible and that you still won't feel are plausible. So wrap your mind around it. It's going to happen tonight. But what's going to be interesting is I think you'll see some of the more typically unheralded positions. I think some of those guys are going to fly off the board early, and time will prove them out to be tremendous draft picks and great value, even in the top 5, 10, and 20. And a player like Devin White, for me, is front and center in that conversation. A lot of people like him at number 5 overall. Saints fans, you won't want to hear this, but I think that would be a great landing spot. Tampa Bay Bucks just lost a guy like Quan Alexander to big money, but you could bring him in, put him with the defense that you got to revamp, whether it's Famous Jameis, Fitzmagic, or somebody new at quarterback. They've got a lot of turnover. That's going to happen in Tampa. Devin White's got a chance to be a double-digit year stalwart in the middle of that defense. There's no other way to put it. Just a tackling machine. And so you've got a chance to stockpile a middle linebacker tonight if you want to take a flyer on Devin White. You've got some other positions like tight end that have a chance to be represented maybe in a way that they haven't in recent history. And the kid from Iowa, I always mess up his name, makes me think of Brewster's Million. Hackensack, right? Yeah, the Hackensack Bulls, that guy. The fact that he's going to go, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 overall, all the mocks continue to tell us. That, to me, it's not as systemic of a change as Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey. It's not as systemic of a change as running backs suddenly starting to go early again. Or even in these last 2 years, I continue making the comparison. Roquan Smith, now Devin White. Interior linebackers who aren't out-and-out edge rushers on the second level of defense going top 5, top 10. Those seem like waves that are coming at us and changing the way we used to think about positional scarcity, the things that really matter. The kid from Iowa going as high up as everybody seems to esteem him, that one's different for me because I'll pose this question to you. I'm not telling you it's a bum deal. I just am not used to it. And I'm not sure it's a wave of the future. But the question for me to you would be this. When's the last time that a non, just complete athletic freak of nature at that position went in the top 10 or 12? And I don't need to wait because I'd be doing that for the whole 2 hours and 10 minutes I got left on the program today. I mean, think about the guys that fly off the board up there, right? I mean, even back to somebody like a Kellen Winslow Jr. But usually when the tight ends come off the board, I mean, they're just freaks, right? Guys that are out-and-out pass catchers. This kid from Iowa seems to be a dual threat, if you will, tight end. Now, maybe that bodes well. Second round, early to mid-third round for a guy like Foster Moreau, who has seen his stock soar since being one of the most ballyhooed players in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. And since then, blazing a nice 40 time. Great combine showing, right? A standout at the Underwear Olympics. So, hey, look, maybe a year or two from now, I'm adding non-complete freak athlete tight end to the list of running back and middle linebacker. The draft continues to be intriguing to me year after year because we see just how much these GMs will wet their pants to go up and get a quarterback just because, damn it, we need a quarterback and we can't lose out in that literal arms race. So that's one of the reasons that the draft to me is always intriguing. But one of the things that I'm explaining here to you is kind of something that's a little more new for me. I like watching myths and stereotypes debunked. And I like watching these running backs, these middle linebackers. Look, if you're one of the best and you can do it in the league, to hell with the way the position used to be treated. I think we're going to see some of these backs completely overhaul the modern game. Todd Gurley, I would argue, is currently doing it with the Los Angeles Rams. Yeah, I know. They put in the big bowling ball. What, C.J. Anderson when they needed him for a couple of playoff games? But you saw the Super Bowl, right? When Gurley wasn't his normal self, when he wasn't an offensive NFL player of the year caliber guy, I mean, the Rams had to rely on Jared Goff. Speaking of going up the ladder to get quarterbacks very early. So it's that time of year where, what, hope springs eternal? But I'll tell you, Saints fans are going to get a little dose of medicine on why tonight's just not going to be as much fun for you and why trading up to get Davenport last year means that tonight will not be as entertaining. But I'll warn you, it doesn't mean that the long-term prognosis of Davenport is bad. You won't get your jollies tonight. You won't get to feel that first-round high that so many other teams do. And I mentioned, Oakland picks three times tonight. 4th, 24th, 27th. Giants are picking 6th and 17th. Packers, 12th and 30th. Seahawks, 21st, 29th. So many franchises are hoping for a quick fix tonight. And that's where I'll leave you here in our opening segment. The Saints don't need a quick fix. I will be floored if Mickey Loomis, Jeff Ireland, Sean Payton, I'll be shocked if they trade up into the first round tonight. They don't need to. And so tonight, try to enjoy it from a holistic standpoint, if you can, because your fandom's going to be tested a little bit. It'll be like you're in a fantasy football draft, and everybody but you's got a first-round pick. That's what tonight's going to be like for you. Sorry, you're not going to love that. That's how it's going to be. So try to enjoy the sport of it. You follow LSU, watch, root for your guys, Devin White, Greedy Williams. You got other teams that you like out there. You grew up in another state. You got allegiances elsewhere. Okay, watch and see if your guys get drafted. But without the Saints going tonight, you're not going to enjoy Thursday night quite as much. Just the way the cookie crumbles. But on the other side of this break, I got a few questions that'll get you geared up for tonight. Get you thinking in the right direction. Overrated players that you know are going tonight. The best available player that's available in the draft. How many times can I say available in a row? I don't know. The show's just getting started. I'll test that theory later, too. But we got some good things that are coming your way, including visits with Hunt Palmer at 4:30, LSU baseball, midweek win over Lamar, efficient, fairly uninspiring. But then the big news today, LSU not bringing Cole Henry to play in his home state of Alabama against the Crimson Tide this week. So what do they do bouncing back from another fatigued arm? We'll ask Hunt Palmer that and more at 4:30. from 5 to 5:30. Jeff Horchak, KLFY, Passepartout 2 in the mornings and middays will sit in with us here at the Taproom River Ranch. And from there, we have intentionally left it open. Want to take some calls, want to get ready for the draft with you. Maybe you disagree with me. Maybe you think the Saints will pick in the first round. They will trade up. I'd love for you to tell me why that's a good idea. We got time to chop it up. 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back out to the Taproom River Ranch, having fun, no rhythms, no problem. We got live music coming here later tonight. We'll be back in on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
It's draft day, people. Welcome back in. Bumper to Bumper Sports taking over live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here, the famous Clint D, ready, willing, and able to take your phone calls. Let's get interactive now. We'll have Hunt Palmer a little less than 15 minutes from this moment. Call us when you're ready. We'll talk Saints. Do they trade up tonight? And then I got a couple questions I'll kick to you here momentarily. Have the number ready and then dial 706-0111. CD, I've got two questions today. Let's not waste any more time.
Love, exciting, and
your sink or swim question of the day, part one. Who is the best available player in the 2019 NFL draft? No other considerations to that question. You look at them, you evaluate them, you're a fan of college football, you feel like you know. Tell us what you know and what you think. Who's the best available player? Part two, who is one likely first-round pick that you believe is wildly overrated? You want to phrase it another way? Who's the most overrated player that's destined to be drafted tonight? I think that answer could be even more entertaining than the first. Again, when you're ready, 706-0111. CD, you've got honors. Lead us off.
Ben, you're giving me too easy of an opinion there with that second one. I'll start off there. I got to go with your boy Jones, Daniel Jones. He's the guy that I feel like is the most overrated out of the pack in that first round. I don't know why everybody considers him to be like a middle first round pick. He feels like he's more of a second round name. Doesn't pop off the paper to me. Coming out of Duke, I just can't buy into him being at that point in the ball game. When it comes to the first round player that I think is the best, I got to go with, without a doubt, it's Nick Bosa. The guy out of Ohio State is just one of the pure athletes coming out of this draft, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in the pro ranks.
I wouldn't say no doubt, because I do have some doubts about who the best available player is. I'll actually lead there. I believe, like you, that it's a defensive player. I would lean more toward Quinnen Williams out of Alabama, but I'll tell you, if I'm not going him, and this isn't just devil's advocate, I believe this, Josh Allen out of Kentucky is going to be a freaking stud. And if he falls, say, to number three overall, wow, the Jets are going to have one heck of a player to put toward the front of their defense with the president, Jamal Adams, roaming things in the back. God forbid, if he falls all the way to number four to the Oakland, soon-to-be Vegas Raiders, well, then they've got a real strong opportunity to replace a guy that's probably the best edge rusher in all of football, right? We watched them basically give away for this pick one of their best players, if not their best player in Khalil Mack, to the Chicago Bears. But if they could find a way to have the future of Josh Allen, I think things would look pretty bright for Chucky and company. So, look, I'm not discrediting Bosa. He is a freak. Sat out the majority of his junior season. I'm not going to completely give him demerit for that, say that he's garbage. No, he's a top three or four prospect in this draft. That part I don't doubt. But Quinnen Williams out of Alabama has got a chance to be different than some of these Bama guys. Yeah, I heard Bama Ray this morning, my guy RP3, talking about his Redskins taking every single Bama defensive lineman Well, here's the thing. You don't always get the best Bama defensive lineman, right? You win just enough games that Daniel Snyder gets to pick in the middle of that first round. Not always necessarily at the top of the first round. I think Quinnen Williams is going to be one hell of a pro. So I would lean toward either him or Josh Allen, who has garnered an awful lot of Von Miller comps. And wow, it's kind of like I said the other day about Foster Moreau to Jason Witten. I said, if he's 80% of that player, then Katie bar the door. If Josh Allen is 80 to 90% of Von Miller, he deserves to be one of the top two or three players taken off the board in this draft. So who is BAP, best available player? We're all going defenders so far. Nobody going with Kyler Murray, even though it feels a foregone conclusion that he'll be the first guy taken by the Arizona Cardinals. The other question is the one that I think is maybe more open to interpretation, a little more wiggle room, obviously very subjective. Who's the most overrated player? I'm going to tell you that I've got a DK Metcalf type of feeling here. I just can't help but look at him, and I'm not the first to stumble down this path. So I'm not claiming originality, but I agree with this comp. Are we sure he's not David Boston? I don't want a guy who runs, lifts like Tarzan, and maybe occasionally plays like Jane or somewhere in between. I don't need somebody who's going to win a weightlifting competition. I don't need somebody who's going to grease up and go out there and win a bodybuilder competition. I just need somebody who runs the best routes, has the best hands, and isn't a complete and utter prima donna. If I'm drafting a wideout in the first round, that's what I want. And I might even budge a little bit on the prima donna part if the skills are that prodigious. But I've got a bit of a bust feeling on DK Metcalf. And I know that he had a pretty darn good career at Ole Miss, but it wasn't consistently great. He didn't put up the numbers that, say, a Jarvis Landry did, who was taken, if memory serves, in the third round by the Miami Dolphins. Look what Jarvis does these days. Just another example that I don't need a bodybuilder at that position. Just because somebody might look like Megatron doesn't mean that they play that way. If I'm wrong, I'll eat that crow. But something tells me that DK Metcalf, who everybody loves, going somewhere between 11 and 20, something tells me that he's not going to live up to that billing. We got a few more moments in this segment. Don't leave Clint and I out here on an island. Call us when you're ready. 706-0111. Who's the best player available? And who's going to be taken tonight that you think's just wildly overrated? Let us know. And, of course, the draft tonight, the part I do like about this, I know the Saints aren't picking. It's going to lose some of its luster locally. I know. But I love the fact that they're putting this thing on location. And, of course, the guy that does his show on location every Thursday for the Tap Room River Ranch, Friday for Rufino's on the River, of course I feel that way. I love going out and seeing the people. I love that it's going to be in Smashville tonight. I got a good buddy of mine who's a huge Buffalo Bills fan. Huge. He and his cousins made the trek, not quite from Buffalo. They've relocated since, but they made the trip out to Nashville. He's been sending me pictures all day. That thing is, as the kids would say, quite lit. So I love the fact that they're putting this thing on site. All right, let's take our first call. Out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ken, happy draft day. Welcome in.
Same as you. I agree with you on one point that I would take Quinnen Williams. No doubt about it. He's a big-time stud, in my opinion. I would never take a receiver or running back in the first round unless they Odell Beckham or Barry Sanders or somebody like that. Otherwise, you got plenty of those you can get. You need to get an impact player, and particularly offensive line or defensive line, in my opinion. That's what I would choose. Looking at this draft, and in particular, the quarterbacks ain't that good in this draft anyway.
There's no doubt. I don't think I'm reaching for any of these quarterbacks. Thank you, Ken. We got time for one or two more. 706-0111. A few things. This is why I love calls. It always sparks more conversation. And Ken said he wouldn't take a receiver in the first round unless he's that absolute Odell type of stud where you feel like he can't miss. I feel like DK Metcalf can miss. And so for Saints fans out there, I got your fix. The Falcons just need to keep drafting these freak wide receivers. Take another one and just keep giving up as many points as is humanly possible. Let's all collectively from Louisiana wish DK Metcalf upon the Falcons. Please, we need you to line up Julio, and DK and Calvin Ridley and whoever else you got. I don't know, Mohamed Sanu. Doesn't matter. Just go ahead and keep lining them out, trot them out there, and give up a million points a game. There's something else he said about quarterbacks that I'll circle back to. But now let's take another call. Out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Ben. Yourself?
Any better? Wouldn't be able to stand it.
There you go, buddy. Low-hanging fruit for me, man. You know my answer to the best player available is would have to be Mr. Devin White. You know that.
History may prove you correct about that. I think he's a likely top five pick. He might end up as the most productive pro.
And I'm going to agree with Clint on – I've never even heard of the guy from Duke. So I'm just going to agree with Clint on that one.
There's a slippery slope there. T, you know I appreciate you, bud. Thanks for the call.
Hey, you have a good day, bud. Love your show.
You too, man. Look, here's the slippery slope there. And I'll end it on this. We got to hit a break. Saying that a guy went to Duke, and so you're probably not sure he's going to be very good, or that, you know, I never really watched him, not really familiar, never heard of him. It's a little dangerous. How much Carson Wentz did you watch out of whatever Dakota State? None. Absolutely none. That's a little dangerous. I don't know that I would set that precedent, right? Not everybody's going to come out of QBU, right? They can't all go to whatever, USC, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State. Well, they can't all go to those schools. There's a lot of precedent about some of these smaller school quarterbacks catching fire. So downgrading Daniel Jones because he went to Duke, I don't know if that's the reason I would do it. If you have your other reasons, those are always applicable. We'll have more time to explore the space here. But right now, got to hit a quick powder break. When we return, Hunt Palmer talking LSU baseball. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, enjoying a live crowd, and they are lively early at the Taproom River Ranch. We'll be right back out on 103.7 The Game.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now, back to the Tap Room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
Headliner about Hunt, seriously, at this point, I would say it could kick rocks, but then I think I'd have to put a few shekels in Moscona and Terrio's jar. I don't want to do that, but I might have to. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. You know what time it is. Let's go to Baton Rouge. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Hunt Palmer of podcasting glory. You can and you should listen to Outside the Box with he and Charlie Hanegriff, 104.5ESPN.com. How are you, Hunt?
Good, Ben. How are you, man?
Look, I'm good here on this end. I'll start with the LSU baseball. I got a few other things in mind that we can come back around to, and we could basically spend the entire time on pitchers. The big news of the day, Cole Henry's not making the trip to Tuscaloosa. It'll be Zach Hess Friday night, Eric Walker on Saturday, and then Sunday TBA. What's going on with Henry, and just how alarmed should LSU fans be?
I mean, at this point, it's just you almost have to laugh. I mean, if you got to laugh to stop from crying, I guess is the thing. It just sounds like some elbow tenderness. And the hope is that it's a situation kind of like Aaron Nola's freshman year, where they just had to skip him for a weekend. He was just a little bit tired. This is a different workload than he's ever had to deal with. And you just skip a week, and the arm feels good, and you're back in action the next week. Hopefully that's it. But at this point, you know, everybody's had to deal with one thing or another. Some guys have come back, and some haven't. LSU's got to have Cole Henry if they're going to accomplish anything down the stretch here. So it's a good weekend for him to be out because you got a pretty good chance to go beat Alabama anyway. But they got to figure something out. He's been the best pitcher on the staff this year. And for him to miss a significant amount of time would just be crippling.
I mentioned Hess will be back tomorrow night. And then Eric Walker bumping up to the Saturday start. Who would be, again, I know this is fluid, right? It depends on who has to come in and relieve. But who would be your pick to click to go on game three?
Yeah, it's all about who they use the first two. And, you know, obviously you'd like those two guys, Hess and Walker, to work deep into those games. You'd like potentially the bats to come alive against the bad Alabama pitching staff and allow the key bullpen guys to rest in games one and two. But you never know. Obviously, Mikhail Hilliard is a candidate to start. That did not go very well last week. So are you gun-shy there, potentially? Devin Fontenot has shown that he can give you four or five innings like he did earlier in the season, but he's your closer. Do you want to move him?
I don't know. Obviously, Todd Peterson has started games in his career and went to Paul Menard and said, I can start game three if you need me to. I think that might be a real possibility. Those are probably the three strongest candidates outside of Landon Marceau, depending how he feels. And that was what we were told when he took the ball on Tuesday. We're going to get him out of there after two or three innings, and then he'll be available on the weekend. He's got a chance to earn that start. We'll see how his arm feels. At this point, you just don't know.
He is Hunt Palmer, and he knows LSU baseball. That's why we talk to him every Thursday. Follow him as well on Twitter, at HuntPalmer88. You mentioned Marceau. I wanted to go there. Your impressions on the start against Lamar and how he's coming back to form.
I thought he was pretty good. The curveball had a lot of bite to it. Didn't necessarily throw it for strikes. His fastball looked, velocity-wise, looked pretty good, 92 for most of the game. His command was iffy, but he got a couple ground balls and got a couple double plays in his three innings, and he was fine. The most important thing for me with him is how does he feel the next day, and we haven't heard that anything is significantly wrong, so that's encouraging.
A few more in LSU baseball, and we've had a listener question, Hunt. They want to know about Nick Storrs. Obviously, LSU could use some of these guys back that we've been discussing. Is there really a chance that he kind of gets resurrected from the dead and could contribute down the stretch of the season?
Well, he's been throwing, which is a step in the right direction. I think it's a lot to ask someone who's pitched all of two collegiate innings in 2 years to come in and be a key piece in the bullpen on a team in the postseason. So right now, for me, I didn't expect anything from. Now, is it possible? Sure, but I'm not going to sit here and count on it.
Oh, we lost you for a second there. I'll bring you back in. We'll talk Saul Garza quickly. I know that he's been thrust into a certain position. I guess your impressions of him and what he can do behind the plate and then at the dish moving forward.
The pitchers really like throwing to him. They like his frame up there. They like his receiving. So that's a plus. He obviously has thrown a couple of guys out on the bases, which is not something that we've seen Brock Mathis do a lot of. And the other part is that there's an upside to his bat. Now, we haven't seen it at all, but there's a chance that he can get hot and hit some doubles and some runs. I think it's difficult to expect that as well when you haven't seen it for 3 months. But he's healthier than he has been over those 3 months, and hopefully with some increased at-bats, you know, that upside starts to come out. I think they're definitely worth giving him a shot because Brock Mathis has kind of shown you what he is. I'd like to see Garza get a few more innings, a few more at-bats, to see if they can unlock something there.
All right, we'll go a bit of lightning round here before we let you go. Other places than LSU baseball, the NFL draft kicks off tonight. Yay or nay, you're a fan of the Thursday, Friday, Saturday format?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I mean, I'm not a big NFL guy, and so I'm good with the Thursday night with a little bit of draft action on. I'll probably watch some SEC baseball between picks. I don't need to be breaking down Purdue's left guard for 3 minutes waiting on a pick. But I'll tune in. I think it's fine.
Yay or nay, it makes sense to you that Greedy Williams is slipping down draft boards, especially with the reasons given?
That's just a massive nay. I don't care if cornerbacks can tackle. Nobody runs the ball in the NFL anyway. He's 6'2.5". He runs a sub-4.440. He's got incredible ball skills. He's physical at the line of scrimmage. All his tape suggests he can cover anybody. I think it's ridiculous. And I think he's going to go in the top 25 picks of this draft. There's no way the first round's coming off without Greedy Williams. That's just not happening.
This one may be a little tougher, but you don't shy away from tough questions. We learned the other day, when the list came out of guys who put their name in for the NBA draft, again, some of these guys can still pull out without an agent, that Marlon Taylor is one of six now from LSU. I think it's a foregone conclusion, Hunt, that Naz Reid and then Trey Waters are gone. Of the other four, which do you think is most likely to keep his name in the hat and not return to LSU?
None of them. They're all coming back.
Okay. Confidence?
Is that direct enough for you?
All right, I like it. No, look, I wanted your take. None of them, they're all coming back. Wade's coming back. Tony Benford's the only one that's not. So it looks like things are moving in the right direction there. Is that your sense from Baton Rouge? I'll get you out of here with that question.
Yeah, I think everything is essentially business as usual now. Obviously, I think that with a new athletic director coming in, Scott Woodward is going to have a conversation with Will Wade. But in terms of the operations of the basketball program, I think it's business as usual. And Will Wade knows that he's got some roster spots to fill. And if I know anything about him from his 3 years in Baton Rouge, he will fill those roster spots with someone. So that's got to be his focus right now.
Hun, you know we appreciate you. Thanks for weathering the storm with us, as always. Best to you over in Baton Rouge, brother.
All right, Ben. Thanks.
Literally the worst part of that interview where a sudden two Mississippi lag could have popped up. Seriously. I'll do the thing we always have done for decades with our technology, you know, like the old Nintendo move. I'll unplug, replug the Ethernet here, and we'll be good. But literally, right as I asked him which of those four guys is most likely to keep his name in the draft, I'm sitting there, probably just like you, pins and needles. Hunt, you going to answer? Come back to us. Roger, do you copy? But he did come emphatic, though. I like that. None of them. Tried to have a back and forth. Is that emphatic enough for you? So, yeah, we'll do the unplug and the replug. But we do appreciate Hunt Palmer's time. Final break of the hour. When we come back, I'll get around to that news that I just alluded to. Happened after our show last night. Tony Benford, he is heading to the state of Texas as an assistant, but not to Texas A&M. I've got some thoughts. I'll share them. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch. And we'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, ready to roll. About 12 minutes to 5 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Phone line's back open. You want to talk some LSU baseball, react to what Hunt Palmer had to say, maybe react to his confidence that all four LSU players with their name in the draft, not named Reed or Waters, are coming back to LSU. We got time. We got space. 706-0111. Now, I alluded to Tony Benford. It came out last night that he's taking an assistant's job at TCU, not Texas A&M, where it was rumored he would get the band back together with old running mate Buzz Williams. But it's going to be TCU with Jamie Dixon. And what feels clear to me about that, again, you spend enough time in these circles, you get to know coaches, and I have no problem telling you that I don't know Will Wade to the extent that I knew the previous few LSU basketball head coaches, and that I've just gotten to know assistants around the country and especially the SEC in general. But typically the way it works is, hey, if I helped you, don't burn me. And so what I'm going to suggest to you is that while I'm sure Tony Benford, who helped LSU to win a couple of games as the interim head coach in the NCAA tournament, well, I'm sure that Tony, who was connected to Buzz Williams and taking the job at A&M, wouldn't have minded that high-profile job. Probably some decent bucks as assistant coaches at the college ranks goes. I'm sure what happened is that Wade probably didn't even have to ask very, I don't know, emphatically, if you want to put it that way, but just requested, hey, if you're going to move on, maybe don't do it within the conference, right? We had a pretty good thing going here the last couple of years. I brought you on here. This was a good deal for you? No? Okay, good. I thought so. You know, do a brother a solid here. And so you see him going in the state of Texas, but not to A&M. And also getting to TCU puts Benford a little closer to where he had long-term roots, right? Over at North Texas, and that's in Denton. Closer to Dallas than to Houston and College Station. So a lot of that aligns and makes sense for me. Now, what's going to happen with Greg Heyer, Bill Armstrong? We'll find out. But if you see more coaches jumping off the ship at LSU, that might tell you that the writing is on the wall, that nothing is stable here. And the more time I have had to think about yesterday's amended contract news with LSU and Wade, one thing is extraordinarily pristine in its clarity to me. And you can't deny this. And look, I'm not a I'm not a Will Wade hater. I just think of myself as somebody who always sees the logic and always understands kind of a protect-the-shield type mentality. I thought he did some things that were likely to put LSU in very hot water. Well, yesterday's amended contract, I told you yesterday, my first glance at it, it's absolutely LSU protecting itself. That part was obvious. But the more time I've had to think over it, okay, why would somebody willingly concede $250,000 in bonuses this year? And since the original report from Austin Dellinger, looks like the amount may be closer to $400,000 overall. Why would somebody forego $400,000 now? Okay, well, any businessman or woman in the world will tell you it's to get more later. And I believe one of the biggest reasons that Wade would agree to the terms of the amended contract is because, well, he wants his base salary for as long as he can have it until the NCAA comes through. And here's the deal. If the NCAA comes through and they can't pin him to the wall or LSU to the wall for anything, there's not a level one or two violation, like Hunt said, it's business as usual and everything is good. That may be, in Hunt's opinion, he's my guy, I got a number of respect for him and he knows that. In Hunt's opinion, it may be business as usual now, and I'm sure that's how they're conducting things internally. But make no mistake, if the NCAA comes and they've got the dirt, Wade will be gone faster than a Thanos snap. I promise you that. And after yesterday, they're not going to owe him a dime. But the point is this. Wade was willing to give up on that $400,000 now because he's going to get, what, two-plus mil for every year that he can stick around until the NCAA maybe has enough to oust him from Baton Rouge. So yesterday makes complete sense to me. With a little more time to think about it, you know, not host a three-hour show in the middle of processing news. We got time for you. What do you make out of that? And what do you think about our sink or swim questions of the day? Yes, we're kicking off the NFL draft tonight. I ask you, first off, who's the best available player? And second, who is one likely first-round pick that you believe is wildly overrated? You could even say the most overrated first-rounder that'll go off the board tonight. Hit us while you can. We got Jeff Horchek coming aboard. We'll see if Trooper wants to bark a little bit, too, from 5 to 5:30. But right now, nothing but time for you. 706-0111. And look, while we're waiting, I'll go a little further down the road with LSU, with Wade, and everything there. It's clear that LSU wants him there, and I completely get that. They hired the guy for a reason. He was one of the best up-and-comers in the business. They want him there. And if they can keep him, they will. And they're going to be thrilled about it. But if they can't, they've protected themselves. And if they can't, Wade's protected his money until it's not around anymore. That's all I'm saying. All right, back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Chad, how the heck are you, man?
Doing great, Ben. Ben, listen, man, don't you think, in Will Wade's case, he wouldn't have come back if he knew everything was going to be all right? Wouldn't have come back if everything was going to be all right? I mean, he was going for 40-something days and just let bygones be bygones. So he decides to come back. So to me, I think everything is going to be, I don't want to say A-OK, but I think everything is going to be OK, man. I just don't think he would have came back and jeopardized even LSU at this point, man. But I'll hang up and listen to your comments, bro. Thank you, Ben.
Chad, look, it's fair. It's a fair question. I guess I would ask you this question and anybody else who's thinking along these lines, because a lot of people are probably thinking what Chad just asked. If you were making $2-plus million a year, would you come back and protect that revenue for as long as you could? And look, it may be that there's no disruption to it. It may be that there is no until then, right? There may be that there's nothing that comes of it, that the NCAA can't get anything on him or LSU. And then it is business as usual. But I guess my take on it, Chad, is yes, I think Wade, even if he knows that he could be screwed, I think he still would come back. I think he has enough respect for LSU, and he wants to protect his long-term money that he agreed to the amended contract. That's kind of what I think. I'm not suggesting to you that it's all selfish, that it's all about protecting his paper, right? I'm not suggesting that. I think he does have respect for LSU. I think he does want to help LSU feel guaranteed that it's not going to get completely screwed in this long term by taking what is a chance. And while LSU fans listening may not see it that way, yes, they're taking a chance by doing what they're doing. They are. But with the amended contract, not so much anymore. And so all parties here can feel a little bit better. LSU could feel better right, that it's protected in the long run if a level one or two violation comes, which, by the way, they're still going to suffer some slings and arrows there. They're just not going to have to worry about Wade and his attorneys coming back and suing them on the backside, and they're not going to owe him buyout. So when they're protected, they're protected financially. They may not be able to forego any probations if that comes. And then Wade's protected in that now he's going to keep making that same salary. If he was indefinitely suspended for months on end, eventually somebody was going to have to pull that cord, right? So LSU could recruit and develop its players and get ready for the next season. So the amended contract is good for everybody right now. I just think it's a little bit foolish to think this thing is completely done and nothing can crop up again. I'm not telling you it will, but if you think it can't happen, I think that's a little bit head in the clouds. All right, back out one more time to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Little Johnny, welcome in. What's up?
What's happening, Dan? Listen, I want to just first start off with you, my guy. I love your show. But this whole Will Wade deal, man, from Jump Street, you ain't been nothing wrong. You ain't been nothing wrong. You've been taking this hardline stance. You said after it first came out several times, you sounded like Dickie B. You were 100% that he was going to be gone within days. He was still there. I don't even know how many weeks ago. And at this point, I'll listen to you on everything else except something about this Will Wade deal because you ain't been right. I don't know if maybe the guys from Baton Rouge seem to have been right. Maybe their sources are better in Baton Rouge, which they should be. But, man, you've been wrong on this one, Ben. Later.
Hey, respect to you. Are they right in Baton Rouge, or are they pandering to fans in Baton Rouge? And those guys are my friends, but I'll call a spade. It's good for their business if they have fights, on-air fights with Dickie V. I'm just telling you, and to some extent, they are fans. Jordy Collada's not going to duck that title. I mean, come on, be real. That's one thing I am not and have never been. Now, if you think I take it to the other extreme on this issue, hey, little Johnny, I understand. I've just heard too much about that guy from people in his profession at the college ranks and at the high school ranks, people who are concerned about what damage he could do to LSU. And so a lot of my perspective comes from that angle. You disagree? I respect it. See? It's all good. CeeDee, quickly, let's get to one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Adequate. I think Kyler Murray will be an adequate first overall pick for Arizona. I don't think he's a bust. I don't think he's a star. But I do think that in Cliff Kingsbury's system, he's got a chance to do some things. He's got a chance to maybe help revolutionize the position a little bit in the NFL. Can he stay healthy? That's another question. Not a bad first overall pick. It's not great. I think it will be adequate. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back in. Jeff Horchek, when we return, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. Ben Love and the famous Clint D. This is the Bumper to Bumper Sports NFL Draft Edition program on 103.7 The Game. And wouldn't you know it, we're joined by Jeff Horchek, Pospot 2 at Middays on KLFY TV 10. Happy draft day to you, Jeff.
Hey, Ben, how are you? Happy draft day. This is an exciting day. I know football junkies all around the world look forward to this day when they can sit back and eat nachos, drink beer, and watch the draft and see who their team selects. And it's always a crapshoot, but it's always fun because this is the day when everybody's an expert.
Can Saints fans enjoy tonight's draft if Loomis, Ireland, and Peyton don't trade up into it? In other words, can you sit back as a Saints fan and just enjoy this from an NFL-wide perspective.
Yeah, I think you can. It's obviously more exciting when your team is drafting, but you can, and who knows? Who knows? The Saints may roll the dice and get back in there. You never know. With them, you never know. But I think you can still enjoy the draft. You get to see what players you're going to be going up against, too, especially player teams in your division. You can kind of sit, and you've got a few LSU guys that could go today. So, yeah, I think there's definitely some interest. As a football purist, you could definitely enjoy the draft.
What is your take on Devin White, Greedy Williams, a couple of guys that are coming out of LSU? One has been considered a consensus top 10 pick and has stayed there. The other has fallen from maybe the back end of the top 10 toward maybe the back end of the first round. Give me your 2 cents on both.
Well, I mean, Devin White, you know, you watched him, and I hear a lot of people saying he may be the best linebacker ever to play at LSU. And I talked to Jacques Doucet yesterday, and he said, yeah, I can see that, you know, with his ability on the field, his lateral movement, and just how productive he is at his size. So, I mean, he's going to go high. I think everybody feels he'll definitely be a top 10 player, maybe top 5, depending on what team falls in love with him. And then Greedy Williams is those long-rangy secondary corners that people want to be able to go up against those big, tall receivers. And it seems like his stock has been, you know, kind of fluctuating here the last week or two. So I think both those guys are impact players on the defensive side of the ball, and we all know that this is a kind of a defensive-heavy draft, it sounds like. So this may be the perfect year for both those guys to go pro, you know, because it is a defensive draft. And but Devin White is a special player. It seems like I've never met either one of them, but he seems like a really down-to-earth, old-school throwback player to me.
We're joined by Jeff Horchek live at the Taproom River Ranch. You want to get in on the conversation, answer some of our questions from hour number one. Who's the best available player in this draft? Also, who's the most overrated likely first-round cat? Let us know. Talk to me and Jeff, 706-0111. I'll let you answer some of those questions. And I don't know how much you've studied the college game over the last few years, how much you've looked at the big boards, but is there anyone that jumps out to you as, boy, I'm just not sure that guy's a first-round pick. I'm not sure I would invest in him if I were a GM.
Okay, I was going to come right out of the gate. I don't think I would take Kyler Murray, number one.
Okay.
And I've watched him play, and he's talented. There's no doubting that. But I don't think I would take him at number one. I just have some reservations about him translating to the next level as a number one pick. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't take him in the middle of the first round or late first round, but as the number one overall pick, with the players that are on the board, I would be hesitant to take him. But that's just me. I'm not running an organization. I think he's a first rounder, but not the number one pick. Now you're talking about a guy that shouldn't even be in the first round, right? Not even in the first round.
No. You answered it perfectly.
Oh, is that what you wanted?
Yeah, guys that are going in the first that you think are overrated.
Okay.
In any capacity, as far as best available player, Clint thinks it's Nick Bosa coming out of Ohio State. A lot of the big board analysts agree with him. I sure like Quinnen Williams, the big D lineman out of Alabama.
Yeah.
And I think Josh Allen, edge rusher for Kentucky, are really special. But any guys that pop off the page to you?
A big receiver from Ole Miss looks like a specimen.
Okay.
You know, physically.
I just called him my most overrated about 40 minutes ago.
Did you really? That's okay.
This one's draft is awesome.
No, it is, because, I mean, we're all experts. We're not wrong right now, because nobody knows what's going to happen. You know a guy that I think is underrated? And I don't know where he's going to get drafted, but he will get drafted, is Bryce Love, the running back from Stanford. I like him. I've always liked him. And I think he may slip because he's not a big guy physically, but I think he's underrated. I think he's going to be a very productive player once he gets to the NFL. And a lot of those kids that come out of Stanford, too, are ready for the NFL. You know, they stay three, 4 years. I believe he's a four-year guy. So they are ready to make the transition. And I've always liked his demeanor, you know, and he's been very productive. Now, he had an injury where a pretty serious injury. That may hurt him as well. But if he stays healthy and I think gets to the right team, I think watch out for Bryce Love. I think he may be a guy that surprises people at the next level.
I'll always give a vote of confidence to somebody named B. Love. There's no question about
point.
That. As much bouncing around as you did through a little bit of your childhood, are there any other NFL franchises that you found yourself – at least at one point in your life, aligned with other than the Saints?
The Steelers, because my dad's family was from Pittsburgh, and we lived in West Virginia. That was the local team. So I've always kind of been a Steelers fan as well. Saints first, then Steelers. And understandably so, Pittsburgh's had such great winning tradition. I see they just re-upped Big Ben, so that'll be interesting. There's been a lot of discussion about his future and how, you know, the chemistry with him and his teammates and all the issues they've had there. Pittsburgh's always been an organization, one of those few organizations that's always done well in the draft on the later rounds. They seem to get those diamonds in the rough and develop those guys. They do well in the first round, too, but they really seem to win their drafts in the later rounds. So be interested to see if they can find another Antonio Brown in the draft this year.
Steelers draft 20th tonight overall in the first round. And there are a couple of mocks I've seen that have Greedy Williams going there. And they desperately need to retool their defense. I think they could use some help in the secondary, no question about it. And so what's funny is that in the same offseason where you part ways with Le'Veon Bell, with AB, I think there's a real chance that they still address defense first.
Yeah, I mean, I let's be honest, Pittsburgh has really made their name over the years on their defense. I mean, in the 70s when they won all those Super Bowls and even into the latter years, they always had strong defenses. So that would make a lot of sense for them to go with a corner at that pick. Wouldn't surprise me. They already have a pretty explosive offense despite losing Antonio Brown. So that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I have a question for you. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the Giants and what they're going to do because at the quarterback position with Eli, and everybody feels like he's just ready to go, they're ready to kick him out the door. And there's some quarterbacks that are intriguing in this draft. What do you think, Ben? What's your take on that? Do you think they pull the trigger on the kid from Ohio State, Haskins, or do they just wait on that and maybe trade down, you know?
I think they use their 17th overall pick to take a quarterback.
Okay.
So the Giants, good question. The Giants are one of four teams that have multiple picks in the first round going in. We'll see what happens if they trade them. But Green Bay, the Giants, and Seattle all have two picks tonight. Mm-hmm. Oakland has three. I'm not taking a quarterback at 6 overall because I don't know that I believe in that value.
Okay.
But if I'm the Giants, I love the idea of taking a quarterback at 17. Or if you just really want your guy and you feel like he's there at 12 or 13, he may not make it, I'll pull the trigger and I'll go make that move. And it's funny you mentioned the Giants because I was going to lob some thoughts at you. We can go back and forth on the quarterback thing. There are two teams that have 12 picks in the entire draft, and that's the most of anybody,
by
the way.
Yeah.
They're two with 12. Giants are one, and this shocked the you-know-what out of me. The Patriots are the other. Now, maybe that shouldn't have shocked me because they often stockpile later-round picks and some of those assets, but the Giants and the Patriots have 12 picks overall going in. You have two teams with only five picks, which is a very low number. Saints aren't far from that. They're at 6. But you got two teams with 5 going in. The Bears are one, and the Seahawks are the other. Mm. So those are some numbers to keep in mind. Do some of those teams with a lot offload them and move up? Do some of the teams with not many get a little froggy and leap? Do they need some more? So those are the things that I always look out for.
Yeah.
But to your point with the Giants, Jeff, they got 12 opportunities to turn this thing into a quarterback.
Good point.
If you want a really good one, you're probably going to have to use either 6 or 17, or as I suggested, maybe somewhere in between. I could see them coming out of this draft with Drew Locke or Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the kid from Mizzou or Duke, either that I just mentioned, I don't know that they're the heir apparent to Eli Manning, but I think you got to try.
Yeah, well, they, with that many picks, you're right. They have a lot more to work with, so you don't feel like there's pressure to take the Haskins kid at 6 when you can –
I feel no pressure
gamble
to do
a little
that.
Bit. No, and I don't either. I think you look at how hard it is to get a franchise quarterback and then to keep him, and you see how long the Saints have stuck with Drew, the Patriots stick with Brady, and now the Giants sticking with Eli, even though a lot of people think Eli's past his prime. And, you know, he probably is when you look at years, and the same could be said for Brady and Breeze. But still, those guys are better than a lot of guys even later in their career. The key is what you have around them. So if the Giants have a bang-up draft this year and put some talent around Eli, get him a line, get him some more skill players, he may shock people this year and have a breakout year, and people go, well, I thought he was done. You know, there's no guarantee you draft a kid from Ohio State or any of those quarterbacks, and they come right in and take over. I mean, that's a tough transition. So I like what you're saying. So what you're telling me is if the Saints end up trading back into the draft, it could be either with the Giants or the
Giants.
The
Patriots
yeah.
would have the most opportunities for them to do that. But look, there's a number of teams that aren't far off of that mark either, right? I mentioned that you got two teams with 12. As I scan this thing, the Bengals have 11, the Cardinals, the Bills, the Steelers.
Yeah.
They've got 10 apiece. So you're going to have some ample opportunities, but the Saints are definitely on the lower end this year. Jeff, I think that's good. As we've said all week long, they don't have many roster spots to fill. So what are you doing? Filling your practice squad with some of these picks? You need to hit on one or two, and then it becomes a successful draft.
Yeah, I mean, the key is to try to get some starters and get some guys who could develop into starters depending on where you draft them. Especially if you're drafting guys in the first round, they need to be starters, instant starters. And really, even second and third round, once you get to the latter rounds, then maybe you get some developmental guys. But who knows? I mean, the Saints have drafted guys in the sixth round that have been Pro Bowlers. So, you know, Tom Brady, great example. Maybe the greatest ever at this position, sixth round. So you just never know. That's where scouting comes in. That's why teams like Pittsburgh have always been good. Their scouts are phenomenal because they can find those guys that fit what they want to do. The Patriots have done a great job over the years of finding that guy that can fit their system. That's really the key, is having your scouting department has to be good and know what you need to fit with what you do. And if they're on the same page, that's where you win drafts, really, in the second and third days. You know, you don't win them in the first day usually.
Jeff Horchek believes DK Metcalf might be one of the best players in the draft. I think he's one of the most overrated. That's part of what makes the draft so much fun. The other thing is that it's always weird. This year we might have two Iowa tight ends that go in the first round.
Wow.
What in the hell is that? So tell your kids about undefeated Iowa football before it's too late. All right, we got to take a break and then more with Jeff Horchek. Don't forget, we're hanging out live at the Taproom River Ranch. They got music tonight. 8 until 11, it's our good friend Corey Lynn Landry. So no rhythms on the river tonight. No problem. Just come out and watch some great free live music and enjoy it with the draft, the wings with the schwing sauce, more than 40 beers on tap to choose from. It's a large time, and as you can hear in the background, it's already started popping off. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Always feel like I'm walking a tightrope every time I host the show. So I get where Stevie Ray's coming from. Jeff, right before you come on, had a guy that we've talked to a number of times in the program call up and say, you're just wrong on something. Hey, that's the name of the game. It happens. But you and I think each other are wrong when it comes to DK Metcalf. We just talked off air. We believe that, well, there are other discrepancies we may have in this draft. So, again, that's what continues to make it fun. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. What else jumps off the page at you tonight about the draft, the quarterbacks that may go, the teams that have an opportunity to pick multiple times? What else leaps off at you?
My question is the Raiders. What are the Raiders going to do? I keep hearing about David Carr or Derek Carr. Are they going to get rid of him and trade him to try to get another quarterback? Because they say he and Gruden are just not on the same page. I don't know if that's legit or not. That could just be other teams throwing that out there. It could be legit. I'm curious what they're going to do. It sounds like they're just trying to kind of revamp their whole team because they're going to move to Vegas and they want new players to kind of showcase and market. It would make sense. It'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Eventually they need players to win as well, though.
Well, you got to win.
You can't sell jerseys if you don't win.
No,
at all.
You got to have the right players to win. I'm curious why this kid from Duke, Daniel Jones, all of a sudden is skyrocketing. You know, you didn't hear Jack about him, and all of a sudden
that was Clint's most overrated.
Was it Clint? Okay. Now all of a sudden he's the guy that you need to look at the position. I mean, he looks the part. He's a big, tall, pro-style pocket passer, and I realize he went to Duke, so I'm sure his Wonderlic score was really good. But I mean, why all of a sudden is Daniel Jones the next Peyton Manning or the next Matt Ryan? I mean, all of a sudden he just comes out of nowhere. Has he interviewed well? That's my question. You know, Duke's never been known to produce great quarterbacks. Not to say he can't be one,
right?
But all of a sudden, one person gets hot on a guy, and all of a sudden, oh my God, you know?
And it's amazing, to your point, what can happen in the Senior Bowl, the Combine, the Pro Day, the interviews behind closed doors. Teams are drafting a lot more on character now than they ever used to. And I'm not just telling you, hey, go get a kid from Duke, you know? He won't. If you ever get in a bind and you have to take a group SAT, you'll be glad you have him. No, it's not about that. But if you think he can play, you like the tape, and you see how he translates, yeah, we've seen guys from smaller schools do it. I offered up Carson Wentz earlier as a guy who I think did pretty well for himself, injuries aside, coming out of the Dakotas, right? So, you know, I don't know why Daniel Jones has exploded. I know this. I feel better about taking him midway through the first round than I do taking Kyler Murray first overall. So, as always with the draft, it comes down to the idea of value. I'll spin it toward the Saints. I don't want to run too low on time here. Mike Dettillier, draft analyst extraordinaire. Everybody in this state admires his work, and I'm amongst them.
He did
his first-round mock. Obviously, the Saints aren't in it, but he went through some scenarios at pick number 62 that the Saints have into the second round. And while he considered, according to Mike Dettillier, players like Deebo Samuel, wide receiver out of South Carolina, Hakeem Butler, wide receiver out of Iowa State, a few others, Julian Love, cornerback out of Notre Dame, he landed on Texas A&M tight end Jace Sternberger, and he thinks that he's a worthy addition to pair him with Jared Cook, the guy they got in free agency, who's more of a pass-catching tight end. And there you have more of your dual-threat tight end for the future. What would you think if Sternberger is the pick at 62?
Wouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, they need a young tight end to develop around. There's no question, because Cook is, you know, a little older in the tooth, so he's not going to be around forever, although in the next year or two he could be a real impact player. But you need a guy, and maybe Cook could develop him and kind of groom him and mentor him so that in another year or two this kid would be ready. Wouldn't surprise me. I mean, we all know that it's a position they're targeting because they really haven't had a consistent tight end since Jimmy Graham. And then they had Ben Watson for a few years, who was really good, but he's just gotten up in age and it's time to move on, although he's debating whether to come back or not. Yeah. Now, would that be with the Saints or someone else?
I believe with someone else.
Okay. So, and I love Ben Watson. I think he's great for the league and all, but he's been a solid guy. So they need someone to build around. Wouldn't surprise me if they went with the tight end. That's definitely the safe pick, to stay where you are and take the best tight end there. So we'll see. It's that's what makes this draft so fun, is that there's just the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen, and it keeps your interest. The draft always hooks me. Even when, you know, the years when the Saints were horrible and you thought, doesn't matter who they draft, we're still going to stink. And then when they're good, it's like, it just fascinates me on what teams do and how they decide on drafting certain kids and what it is about certain guys that attract them. And it's sometimes, like you said, it's something that you wouldn't even think about, that draws them to a certain player. You see how, you've seen the story about how the Seahawks found out about Russell Wilson, got onto Russell and we got obsessed with him and ended up drafting him, and you see what happened. Certain guys just stand out to teams, and I remember when the Saints drafted Jimmy Graham. I was in sports, and I went to Saints training camp and saw Jimmy in his first training camp, and I came back to my boss and coworker George Faust and went, dude, this Jimmy Graham kid is raw, but man, is he going to be special if he figures out how to play the game. And boy, we saw what happened. He was a basketball guy converted to football. So, you know, something stands out to players or teams, and they go for them, and that's what fascinates me about this draft, is what will attract certain teams to certain players. You know who I like, and I meant to mention this to you, quarterbacks? I like the Lock kid out of Missouri.
Okay.
I've seen him like a lot of people around here because of the SEC. I like him. I like his demeanor. I liked him when I've seen him play. He was a highly regarded kid coming out of high school. There's something about him, and I've heard, and this may not affect the draft at all, but I heard that the Saints had scouts at every one of his home games this year. So they like him too. Now they may not draft him, but they've been very fond of Locke.
Let's end there on the idea of quarterbacks. And I compiled a little bit of a list. I'm sure there are a lot more examples, but these were ones that immediately left an impression on me. How important is it to draft your quarterback of the future? Often depends on whether or not you can get that guy in free agency or via trade from the current NFL pool, right? This offseason, Nick Foles traded places, right? Because the Eagles have Carson Wentz.
Right.
The offseason prior, Alex Smith traded places because they had, as we've now seen, Pat Mahomes in the wings. The Saints were able to get Teddy Bridgewater in that type of situation, and maybe he's the guy of the future. But think about the level of those three players I just said. Foles, Smith, Bridgewater, no due disrespect to Nick Foles, who's a Super Bowl MVP. But I don't think you're getting a 5 to 10 year stud if you trade in the NFL these days, because the studs are so scarce, nobody's trading them, right? Saints, what they did with Drew Brees a decade plus ago, is that doesn't happen anymore for the most part.
That was quite a risk, if you remember.
Because of the injury.
Right, that was the big question. If it hadn't been for the injury, they never would have had Drew Brees, but that was the big risk.
So everything I just said,
yeah.
Does that make you just stir-fry crazy that if you're a GM, I got to find my guy in the draft, because that's how else am I going to do it?
No, I mean, we've seen there's other ways to do it. I mean, I think the most traditional way is through the draft, because you can develop the guy, you build your team around him versus just plucking a guy And plus, you don't have to – you pay a rookie – well –
No, you're right. The rookie scale is not what it
scale.
Was.
Yeah. I mean
– Alex – what's his name? Bradford? Oh, man. The kid out of Oklahoma.
Sam Bradford?
Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, LSU's guy.
I mean, if you
Jamarcus
get
– Randall, they ain't getting paid that much
anymore. No. Jamarcus Russell, yeah. If you get a guy straight out of college and he's the number one pick, you know, you still paying him a rookie contract until he proves, and then you're gonna have to give him a monster deal, and he may end up being the top paid quarterback in the league at some point, like Russell Wilson. Because look at the Seahawks. Look what they got out of Russell Wilson on his rookie contract. He got two Super Bowl appearances and a Super Bowl win. Now they're having to pony up and pay him. So, but reality is the Saints. You know, they drafted Archie Manning, who was a really talented guy, but never had the team around him high. And they've never, other than that, that was the only guy that ever panned out. And Drew, they didn't even draft. So, and that was a huge risk. So you're right. There's other ways to get quarterbacks, but it's tougher to get a guy, I think, after he's been drafted that's ready versus a guy that's just drafted right out of college. But it just depends. Some of it's just luck, man.
Got about 30 seconds left. What's coming up tomorrow morning? Pospot 2 on KLFY.
Well, we're going to have more on that horrible tornado that ripped through Ruston today and killed two people. It tore up the Louisiana Tech campus. Obviously, that was the big story nationally and locally. And then more on Festival International courses in full force. And then we've got the pro boxing at the Cajun Dome Saturday night. That should be big. A lot going on. And any other local news, we'll have it for you, and weather.
You know how much we appreciate you, Trooper, as well. Thank you, Jeff.
Always fun, Ben. Thanks.
We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and Jeff will hate it, but his Steelers are part of Throwing Shade next on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Pre-draft rumors, they're flying, and they've only got about an hour and a half remaining. And then they're just, you know, in-draft rumors. Bumper to Bumper Sports. No rumor, just the real thing. We're back out at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open for the next half hour. Talk some draft with us. 706-0111. And here's the most prevalent draft rumor. According to Ralph Vacciano, NFL insider for SNY.TV, the Jets, the Bills, have been discussing swapping their first-round picks. As things stand, the Jets have the number 3 overall pick, and the Bills have the number 9 overall pick. Continuing that thread, Vacciano said there is no doubt that the Jets would like the Bills' 40th overall pick in the second round. Presumably, the Bills would also have to give up a 4th-round pick. And so if this is true, and boy, that's still a lot to give up, in my opinion, if you're the Jets. That number 3 overall pick is incredibly valuable. Would they be willing to do it, to trade back to 9, to get 40 overall, and to get a pick in the 4th round? I don't know about that. I'm not sure if that would be quite enough for me if I were the Jets, but we'll see if they consider it. Now, the apple of Buffalo's eye is Alabama defensive tackle Quinnen Williams. And so the report is, if Quinnen Williams makes it through the first 2 picks, you're likely to see the Bills get very aggressive to try and make this happen. If Quinnen Williams goes in the first 2 picks, then maybe these two stay pat, right? No trading places needed. But that certainly would be your first big shakeup of the night if the Bills move up from 9-3 in their pursuit of Quinnen Williams from Alabama. The Jets would move back from 3-9 and then also maybe double their efforts, right? Get another pick in the second, get a pick in the 4th. We'll see if that is equivalent and fair value. While we wait on more draft rumors to fester, how about your daily reminder? It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top down. It starts with Mark. He and his staff, they'll sit down and help you create a vision, and then they'll fulfill it. And how beautiful is this? You can trust their professional installers inside your home. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game before the Saints come marching in this season. And all it takes to start is a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. They can't get enough of themselves. And what's funny is for the second time in about 3 weeks, we're doing this segment based on a former Steeler and, as it were, a recently former Steeler. Antonio Brown decided to go in on South Louisiana legend Ryan Clark. Boy, I don't know if that's a good idea. The pride of, what, Archbishop Shaw, went to LSU, played for the Steelers, made his bones long before Antonio Brown even got to the league. And there was a nice little back and forth there. Ryan Clark, interacting with fans on Twitter, basically said, I have no reason to lie in my opinions. And then Antonio Brown decided to go in after him. Here's the exact tweet from Antonio Brown, directed at former LSU Tiger Ryan Clark. Bro, stop mentioning my name. I know it gets you clout. Keep that same analysis energy next time we meet. It's on site. Ain't gonna spare you. Let me be very clear and unequivocal about one thing. Ryan Clark would beat the dog bleep out of Antonio Brown. It would not be a fair fight. Bovada, and I don't think they're joking, just put out odds, and it's minus 500 Ryan Clark. I'm pounding that number. I'm pounding it into the body, into the head, as much money as I can flood on Ryan Clark there. Antonio Brown wants absolutely no part of even a retired Ryan Clark. Ryan in that situation. And that's how I would put it. That's how I just did put it. Here's how Skip Bayless put it earlier today. Antonio Brown, trust me, you want no part of Ryan Clark. You'd get hit harder than you've ever been hit on a football field. Better keep taking your shots from your keyboard. Skip Bayless off the top rope. He's been known to do that. It's just amazing to me that the model of consistency for a franchise in the NFL, with the possible exception of the New England Patriots, a longer-term model of consistency, the Pittsburgh Steelers have so much infighting. And it used to be if you wore that helmet, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Right, you were people, and that was it. And now all of a sudden, whether you wear it, you used to wear it, you begged your way out and got money to play somewhere else, these guys can't even remotely stay on the same page. But, man, diva wide receivers going after hard-hitting safeties. Boy, I don't care if Ryan Clark's been out of the league for about a half decade. He would lay those hands on you, to put it in Jim Rome terms, and you wouldn't like the way you feel, I guarantee it.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
CD has made me aware that I might owe royalties to Men's Warehouse now. No, I didn't say you're not going to like the way you look. You're not going to like the way you feel, Antonio Brown. So, Clint, I appreciate the heads up there. And if we have to pay the guys at Men's Warehouse, maybe you could foot that bill.
Maybe I could, Ben. Maybe I could. I'll have to throw in a few shekels there.
Appreciate the contribution. All right, we're going to hit our final break of the hour. We'll be right back in. Let's take some phone calls. Let's talk some damn NFL draft. What do you think about what you just heard when it comes to the Steelers? Who's going to go first overall? Who's overrated? Let's have some fun with this. Bumper to Bumper Sports, bouncing right back over to the Taproom River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
A, I don't feel any pressure about it. B, I love it and embrace it because it's going to give us an opportunity to continue to try to turn the corner here and become a good football team. And I think what it really gives us is flexibility, and that's what I love about it. Four of the first 35 picks gives you an opportunity to consider all those scenarios multiple times. And again, that's why we're opening up the line of communications with all the teams around the league.
Raiders GM Mike Mayock. He knows this time of year better than anyone when it comes to the reporting side, right? The scoop side of the NFL draft this year. We'll start to figure out if he knows what to do when it comes to the evaluation and the selection side. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm looking forward to see how this experiment turns out. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back into the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. You can take your phone calls in this segment, 706-0111. The Raiders pick 4, 24, and 27 tonight. And as you heard him say, they've got number 35 overall. And he's correct. Four out of the top 35 picks give them an opportunity to revamp and overhaul the franchise. I'll go on record as saying right now, I bet they don't make at least one of those picks. Got to have sufficient trade bait for somebody, right? It's got to be one of the best parts of having four out of the top 35 picks. You can offload one of them, you know, preferably 24, 27, or 35, still accomplish just about everything that you wanted to with those elite upper-tier picks, and then still get more cachet down the road in this draft, in next year's draft, because trust me, it's not a short rebuild in Oakland/Vegas. You might even get a bona fide player out of the deal. Think about the quality starter you can get for the 27th overall pick, just for example. You want to know about the level you can get? Oh, I'd say maybe Brandon Cooks. That's an example that'll resonate with a lot of Saints fans. Wasn't a deal that was done on draft night, but still, value is value is value, right? So I find the Raiders, per our guy Porchek earlier, KLFY, I completely agree with him, they're going to be one of the more fascinating case studies in all of tonight and this weekend's NFL draft. Let you hear a little bit more from some of the big movers and shakers. And you know, Clint has said, Ben, if you're going to hate on DK Metcalf, you might as well let him defend himself. And he tells you right here, Ben, he's basically speaking directly to me, the Ole Miss wideout says, I'm the best wide receiver in the draft.
Because of what I did at the combine. And then, you know, I feel like I can run routes, I can block, and I can catch the ball. So there's no other complete receiver than me in my mind.
The very first thing out of his mouth is the most irrelevant part of the draft process, or it should be, in my opinion. I'm the best wide receiver in the draft because of what I did at the combine. Okay. Awesome. Produce. And he did at times at Ole Miss, but again, it wasn't what you saw from OBJ, wasn't what you saw from Odell. Those are just LSU examples. It's not what you've seen from a number of the no doubt first-round wide receivers. So I've still got my doubts there, but I respect where he's going there. Got a few more that I want to unload from the NFL side, and this one to me, boy, I think this isn't even a conversation at this point, right? But Cliff Kingsbury, he's taking over the job. Almost everybody presumes that they're going to take Kyler Murray first overall. By the way, the Cardinals have 10 picks in this draft. But Kingsbury here talks about their current starting quarterback and a guy that they spent a early round draft pick on just a couple of years ago. Here's Cliff Kingsbury on Josh Rosen.
I just think there's a misconception about him. You know, I think he's very confident in himself. He's very smart. And I think people may mistake that as arrogant sometimes, but he's a confident young man and he asks the right questions and he's very cerebral and he works at it. So I've enjoyed working with him.
It's a quarterback heavy segment. Hearing a lot of sound on guys that play that position, guys that are drafting at that position. How about another QB? This one from Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins. He was asked leading into the draft about his lack of experience. He sat behind a lot of studs at Ohio State. Here's exactly how he feels on that topic.
Every team that I meet with, they always ask me about my experience, whether that would be a handicap for me or whether that would be used for me to get better at. Every team that I meet with, we watch film, and I would get questions asked about weaknesses much, and we just ask what we see on the field and what I see in protections and coverages and things like that. So they all know I'm young and I have a lot of room to grow.
Speaking of quarterbacks, how about one of the all-time greats in the game? He's now helping make the decisions for the Denver Broncos, John Elway. And here, he echoes something that we're maybe seeing play out in front of our eyes. I already gave you the news that the Jets, the Bills, might be talking about swapping the 3 and 9 overall picks. John Elway said, and he said this days ago, by the way, we are expecting trades before Denver's current first pick, which would be at 10 overall?
I don't, you know, but then again, you know, see if somebody wants to go back. I think everybody's talking about it. Everybody always talks about going back, and if somebody wants to come up, then, you know, they'll have a deal in front of us if they do.
So it sounds like there he doesn't expect that there will be movement. That's not what it's saying so far, but again, a lot of that's dependent on whether or not Quinnen Williams of Alabama is available. We'll get one more from John Elway. He evaluates the entire draft, and the one word he would use, it's deep.
You know, every draft is different. This is obviously, there are some more defensive, linemen, outside pass rushers in this than in the past. So, that's probably the deepest part of the draft, but there's a lot of good football players in the draft.
We've got a couple of updates to share outside of the NFL draft. In fact, we've actually got an update to Throwing Shade. Clint, this didn't take long. It's been pointed out to me that I missed the Ryan Clark rebuttal. And, of course, you swing at a guy from New Orleans, and, well, you best not miss. Ryan Clark, in response to Antonio Brown saying, next time we meet, it's on site. Ain't going to spare you. Oh, boy. Ryan Clark to that tweeted back at Antonio Brown. Was never looking to be spared, and you know that. Looking forward to it. I ain't hard to find. Shoot, you have a jet. That is fantastic. And so a couple of guys that used to wear the black and yellow of the Pittsburgh Steelers just sniping at each other on social media. That appears to be the new Steelers way. Hate to share that commentary. That's just the way it feels to me. And that's been going on for a couple of months now in Rooney's organization. The other tidbit that's just come out, Clint, I saw you tweeting on this. I'll get your input. Pat Mahomes, your reigning league MVP, on the cover of Madden 2020. And I think Saints fans right now are saying a hallelujah that it's not AK-41. When your guy goes on the cover, usually good things don't follow.
It doesn't, but you got to realize, Ben, it feels like the last couple of seasons, maybe not quite as much. I think like after Drew Brees' Madden cover year, nothing really bad happened. They just didn't win the Super Bowl for the second straight year. They wound up making it to the playoffs, winning this NFC South title. So like, a lot of good things still happened for the Saints whenever they had their guy on the Madden cover. It's very hit or miss now. It's not as bad as it was, say, like 10 years ago, back when you had Michael Vick get injured during the preseason when the Madden curse was a lot more prevalent. But then again, maybe it might be a bigger deal what happens with him this season, because, in fact, it is a quarterback, it is a central part of the team, and also with the fact that he's got to be able to have targets to go with, and looks like he doesn't have quite as much at this time in terms of targets to choose from.
Well, look, you know, the biggest thing is it's going to be a proven year for Pat Mahomes, and Madden cover or no Madden cover, show me you could do it again, right? And that's the number one thing they say about pros and in the industry, right? It's too oversimplified to say anybody can do it once, now do it again. No, not anybody can throw that many touchdowns. Not anybody can do it in the way that Pat Mahomes did. He was electrifying last year. I mean, they were one of the best offenses in the league all season long. Only lost to the Pats late because Tony Romo could tell defensive coordinators exactly what was coming, and it didn't matter, basically. They were a very, very good, if not elite, offense in the entire season, and Pat Mahomes was the reason why. Even carried what was a subpar, occasionally atrocious defense. So Mahomes was the MVP last year. I know that Saints fans feel like if it wasn't for a little 3 or 4 game swoon, Drew would have got the honor. Mahomes was the most valuable player. Now do it again. And so I'm not sure that the Madden cover is going to play into that or not. You believe in superstitions, all those good things, fine. But it's interesting. He's on the cover. He's a third-year player, only a second-year starter. And that maybe is as good a reminder on draft night that if you hit, boy, can your fortunes change in a hurry. This time 3 years ago, Alex Smith was the present and the future quarterback for the Chiefs. Now, he plays for a completely different franchise. You've got the reigning league MVP on your team, and he's on the cover of Madden. Things change in a hurry. All right, we're 2 hours down. We got 30 minutes to go. We'll get you closer to the 2019 NFL Draft first round. We've also got to play back some cuts from Lynn Rollins yesterday. He was magnificent. LSU baseball, Will Wade, a lot of topics to cover. We're going to run some of that back on the other side of our hour break. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And you know our Thursday home is the Taproom River Ranch. Still a lot of people here. There's no rhythms on the river. They know the place to be. They listen to B2BS. And they know there's live music coming 8 until 11. Corey Lynn Landry laying down the sound tonight. And there's no cover charge. So come in, enjoy the music, enjoy the draft. Choose from more than 40 beers on tap. And you have to eat the wings with the Schwing sauce. I beg of you, you're going to love it. I will be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
So who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Here we go. Ready to ride with hour number three. Right back into the Taproom River Ranch. My name is Ben Love. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. The famous Clint D in tow inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. We'll take some calls over the next 30 minutes while we've still got some program on the NFL Draft. Anybody think the Saints are trading up into this first round? I do not. Anybody believe that Kyler Murray isn't the first overall pick? I think it's almost foregone that he is. And you're also welcome to go in on our two sink or swim questions of the day. Who's the best available player in this draft? Forget about your allegiances to the Saints, the LSU, or whoever it is. Who's the best player? And on the other hand, the guy that's almost certainly going tonight, a projected first rounder that you just flat out think is overrated. Again, the number if you want to play, 706-0111. But in the meantime, anytime I get a chance to bring on a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, I'm going to jump at that. We did so with Lynn Rollins yesterday, and a legend not only in the Sinlaw area, but throughout Louisiana, gave us some of his takes, mainly on LSU baseball, the hiring of Scott Woodward, Will Wade in LSU basketball, and then a little bit on Cajuns baseball, because he and Ronnie Rance will have the call CST tomorrow night, live from Teague Moore Field at Russo Park, UL versus a white-hot Texas State Bobcats team, Sun Belt Conference action. But let's start with LSU baseball. Here, Lynn reacts to a rash of injuries on LSU's pitching staff. And keep in mind, this is before we knew today's news, which is that Cole Henry, a native of Alabama, isn't traveling with LSU to Tuscaloosa to take on the Crimson Tide. So, man, the depleted get even more depleted. But here's Lynn Rollins on LSU's rash of pitching injuries.
I don't know. I think your observation about it's not an issue confined to LSU or only a few teams, that's very true. Last night, the Lamar Cardinals out of the Southland Conference had eight pitchers who were unavailable due to injury.
Wow.
And you know, I don't know. It is common that freshmen, as they get into that seventh week, that eighth week, that ninth week, that tenth week, and even postseason, many of them start to back up. They haven't had that many starts in their high school careers. They haven't pitched that many innings in high school. And pitching coaches are very careful in college these days of not overworking their charges. I don't think I can point to a legitimate case where somebody has been overworked. I mean, starters these days go once a week, and that's it. And so I don't think it's the frequency of use, but I don't know. I really don't know. I think if there were a concrete answer to that, Ben, I would love to bottle it, and you and I would be retired.
Yep, that's the dream. Figure it out. make that scratch, and then watch baseball going forward. How about more from Lynn Rollins on LSU baseball? Specifically, if he believes this team, despite the injuries with the pitchers, some injuries with the everyday starting nine, does he believe the Tigers are prepared to make a run in the postseason?
You know, a little bit. There are some gaps that still need to be filled, and you're absolutely right about the pitching staff. Fortunately for LSU, it was deep enough to withstand some of the injuries, but there are five guys right now that LSU was counting on in mid-February to be major contributors who are not available at all, and a couple more coming back and still on limited duty, kind of trying out, so to speak, as they come back from injury. So that's been a major problem. The inconsistency has been a major problem. Walks have been a major problem, although that's getting better in the last two or three weeks. If you want to look at history, Paul Menary's teams over the last month have done very well. They've had great success in the SEC tournament, as you know. So would I count this team out? No, I would not. But are there some still major gaps and chasms to overcome? I think so. And one thing, Ben, that LSU must do, and that's find a way to win on the road. They have been a very poor road team the last 2 years. If I'm not mistaken, there's been only one road series victory in the last two seasons, and they're 4-10 on the road this year. So that's something that's got to improve as you play away from Baton Rouge.
Had to run back some of the great sound from Lynn Rollins, a four-time Louisiana Sportscaster of the Year. And one more on LSU baseball, and then we'll move topics. Hey, the 4 o'clock crowd got this yesterday for our 6 o'clock peeps. We know you're not always one and the same. Had to do it for you. This is Rollins getting a bit reflective on Paul Menary, the year that he's going through, and the job he's got. At the end of the question to Lynn, I suggested that this job at times can be tougher from a public scrutiny perspective than the one that Ed Ogeron's even got. Here's what Lynn said to that.
I think that case is valid, and when you're preseason number one, and he embraces that, is he happy with this season? No, he's not. He's very frustrated. But I think he's been through these wars, close to 35, 36, 37, 38 years now. He is, without question, one of the best coaches in the history of college baseball. He's certainly among the leading winners active all time, and that total will continue to grow. But I think your point is very well made, and when he, in his preseason press conference, said, "We're glad we're number one, that's where we expect to be," quite frankly, and I'm quoting him, you may recall he said, "I'm surprised we haven't won more than one championship," and that, of course, came 10 years ago. They've been close a couple of times. So he is a guy who understands it, but I agree. I think there is a measure of there's quick disappointment among LSU fans if they don't get to Omaha, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, that's one reason why those resources are there, because that keen interest is supporting the program. And to me, the Raging Cajuns have their own type of pressure because, it's maybe not known across the country, but it's certainly known in these parts that atmosphere at that ballpark and the attendance that Louisiana draws in baseball is certainly in the top 10 every year and better, and one of the most fun places to watch a game in college baseball.
Interesting that he would go there and end with the Raging Cajuns. We'll connect some dots. Here's Lynn Rollins on the Cajuns, and despite a big win in the Pontiff Classic, look, I know it's midweek. It's a game that they put some chips in the middle of the table, were able to get a win, despite injuries for the Vermilion and White. And then they lost 4 in a row. And they're trying to get back up off the mat against Texas State. I told you Lynn and Ronnie Rantz on the call tomorrow night on CST. This is Lynn on the Cajuns' recent baseball struggles. And for him, pardon the pun, they came out of left field.
Well, I'm honestly a little surprised because I thought maybe the win over LSU by the Raging Cajuns in the Pontiff game would be a kick start. But since then, LSU has lost, 4 consecutive games and given up 32 runs, I believe, and it's gone. It's not gone well as the Cajuns try to get back in the upper division of the Sun Belt Conference. I will say that I'm very impressed with Hayden Cantrell, and I know that he's hitting over 400 against Sun Belt Conference pitching. Todd Lott is having a heck of a year. But the ERA of over 5 against Sun Belt Conference hitters is not something that's usual for Tony Robichaud. And gosh, you know, usually the Cajuns, if they don't lead the league by a wide margin in ERA, they're in the top second or third. So this has not been a year that the Cajuns have pitched well. And it's shocking to me that no regular starting pitcher for the Cajuns has a winning record. And the opposite can be said of Texas State, that their four major starters are 19-9, and they're bringing a seven-game winning streak into Lafayette with a 12-6 record in the league and a 28-13 mark overall. And they play well on the road. They're 10-5 away from home this year. So it's going to be a challenge, but this is what it needs to be done with four series left in the league.
A few more from Lynn Rollins, then we'll take a quick break live from the Taproom River Ranch, and we'll move it over to Scott Woodward. Like many locally, even a lot of people nationwide, his perception of the Scott Woodward hire, and he'll tell you right here, nothing short of stellar.
Well, it is, there are obviously machinations behind the scenes of which we are not yet aware. I was pleased if a decision were coming to remove Joe Oliva and replace him with Scott Woodward. It came quickly. Obviously, a lot of due diligence was done before one man was relieved of duty and another one was hired within 24 hours. Scott Woodward, by all accounts, is a Grand Slam home run for LSU at this time in its history. I'm trying to read a lot of assessments of him across the country, and I find them all to be overwhelmingly positive, if not absolutely glowing. He is a guy who's a big deal maker. What he's done at Washington and what he's done at Texas A&M did not come cheaply in terms of raising millions and millions and millions, if not billions, at those two places for facilities, of attracting high-profile and very expensive coaches. And apparently he's a pretty darn good deal maker. I don't think that money is going to be an issue when he sets his mind, and I think he's got the persuasive powers and the background to make it happen with financial donors.
The man knows what he's talking about. Very well averse, not just in the baseball side, not just from an athletic department standpoint, but we'll end on basketball here. And it's been hard for just about anybody to put a definitive finger on what the hell's going on with Will Wade and that situation in Baton Rouge. And look, I mentioned it earlier. My guy's still listening to little Johnny who called in. Nothing but respect for you. And I know that a number of people listening, LSU fans, disagree with what I've been telling you on Will Wade. You think I'm wrong, and that's fine. I'm just going to tell you that the whole thing is not played out yet. LSU has now protected itself to the hilt, and there's a reason that they've done that. Still, forget about me. Here is what Lynn Rollins has to say when it comes to what we are terming the Will Wade saga.
You know, coming from Louisiana's political background, I guess the assumption would be, yes, it can't hurt. Quite honestly, I would hope that all of that would be independent, and whatever investigation, if any, comes of this. And apparently, I mean, we're seeing allegations flying all over the place in a federal trial about major players from major programs, many of them in football and other sports, were the recipients of ill-gotten money. And I'm hoping the NCAA finally exercises universal control and jurisdiction over this, strengthens itself, pulls the belt a little tighter and says, all right, enough's enough, and turns over every rock. That is my wish as a college sports fan, someone who is still naive enough to believe that it should be a level playing field and that there should be no sacred cows.
And for context, what he was answering at the beginning there was a question I asked does it help LSU's case and cause that Scott Woodward is close friends and even family, considering some marriages that have occurred with their family members? Does it help LSU that Woodward and Dr. Mark Emmert are as tight as they are? So that's what Len Rollins was referring to. A lot to chew on there. Enjoy it into the break. We'll come right back and be a little draft heavy as we begin to wind down the show. Don't forget, 6:35, Clint and I leave you in the capable hands of the Houston Astros. Astro launch at 6:35. First pitch, 7:10 from the Juice Box. Cleveland at Houston. Trevor Bauer versus Garrett Cole should be absolutely fantastic. And Bumper to Bumper Sports, we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game at 103.7thegame.com.
Back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, right back in. 20 minutes after 6 o'clock, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open, if you're ready, 706-0111. We're inching closer to the first round of the NFL draft. We're less than, 39 minutes away. And Clint, I want to go back to where you and I started about 2 hours ago. Who's the best available player in the draft? And who is the most bust-worthy first-round pick? Who's the most overrated guy that's going to go tonight in the first round? Let's go ahead and put another tally in my corner. Charles Hanegriff does a great job with Hunt Palmer on the Outside the Box podcast, talking LSU baseball in Baton Rouge. Hanegriff tweeted out in the last 20 minutes, nobody asked, but if I had the first pick in the draft, I'd take Josh Allen. Doesn't even matter which team. Well, I double-dipped on my best available player. I said it's either Quinnen Williams from Alabama or Josh Allen, edge rusher from Kentucky. Glad to hear that Haney agrees with me. CD, remind the people and give your reasoning. Who's the best player for you in this draft?
The best player for me has to be Nick Bosa for me. The dude just is an absolute monster on the field, and I love what I've seen from him at Ohio State. I wouldn't be surprised if he's like your number two pick in my mind. He's a pure player. But I feel like the Cardinals are going to be going quarterback with their first pick based off of what we've noticed. Cliff Kingsbury loves his offense. So I think you wind up seeing the number two pick be a guy like Nick Bosa in there. I mean, he's such a beast on the field.
Bosa is a beast. I don't question his commitment to his team because he didn't play last year. As long as he's healthy and passes all the physicals, fine. I'll take Josh Allen and his, whatever it was, like 18 sacks last year. I'll take that and sprint to the ticket booth with it. As far as the most bust-worthy, most overrated guy who's going to be selected in the first round tonight, or at least we think will be, I went with DK Metcalf, wide receiver out of Ole Miss, David Boston Redux. Yeah, we'll find out. Speaking of Ohio State, he's absolutely yoked, and the guy looks like Megatron, right? Looks like some of the most physically gifted receivers we could rattle off of all time. How is he in terms of consistent production? How will he hold up to secondaries in the NFL? I'm just not as convinced. Not convinced enough to take a first-round pick is all I'm saying, and that's where his value is. So am I willing to nibble given that value? My answer is hell no. Could he be a good NFL player? Possibly. I just don't want to go there in the first round. CD, same principle, same drill. Who's your most overrated first-round guy?
Overrated first-round guy? It's Daniel Jones. I don't know how this guy wound up getting into contention for being a bona fide first-round pick, according to a lot of people. I understand it. David Cutcliffe, he's a quarterback guru, but at the same time, this guy just doesn't necessarily pop off the paper as opposed to some of the other guys that could wind up getting into the late first round, like a Drew Lock or a Will Greer. I feel like Daniel Jones just isn't like up to snuff compared to those two guys I just mentioned. And of course, I mean, you got Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray being the tier one for some reason, I feel like your boy Daniel Jones, he's like tier two or tier three.
And look, there's no doubt that people are connecting the David Cutcliffe dots and saying this is why he's got some Peyton Manning type of ability when referencing Daniel Jones. It's high praise. It's a huge comparison. I'm not sure that it's going to hold true. The other thing we're not sure will hold true, but we'll know here in the next, I'd say, 50 to 55 minutes, the rumblings that Buffalo wants to trade up from 9 to get to what the Jets currently have at 3. And the idea is that they want Quinnen Williams. And so if the D lineman from Alabama makes it past picks 1 and 2, look for Buffalo to go scoop him up at 3. If that happens, the Jets will not only have 9, but the writing on the wall is that they would get 40 overall, which is a second-round pick, and then a fourth-rounder this year as well. So a couple of teams from the state of New York, they've got some interesting designs. Now the Jets, they don't need a quarterback. They pulled that trigger a couple of years ago. They got their guy in the future there. They don't have to get lost in that shuffle. I'll throw a scenario out at you. Wouldn't it be intriguing if 1 overall, Arizona, selects Kyler Murray? 2 overall, San Francisco selects, we can go with the number of guys, but let's say Nick Bosa for the sake of conversation. The Jets give the pick of 3 to the Bills. Buffalo picks Quinnen Williams. At number 4, Oakland's got a chance to get a guy that I just told you I think is probably the best in the draft in Josh Allen. And again, I'll say it, that would atone for a lot of the sins of giving Khalil Mack to the Bears for pennies on the dollar. Josh Allen would look very good in the silver and black. Might even reinvigorate and wake up the ghost of Arden Key. But Josh Allen, 4 overall to the Raiders, would be spicy. And then 5 overall, I still like Devin White there a lot with Tampa. That would leave the Giants with a lot of interesting choices at 6, wouldn't it?
It really would, Ben.
Go ahead. Do you think that they leap at Dwayne Haskins there?
I think they would. I think that, like I said, that's where I have them going at number 6. I think Dwayne Haskins, I feel like I'd much rather them go at number 6, because number 16, you could probably wind up getting something else you need. And take a wild guess what that is, Ben. That's offensive line, because we've talked about it on the show this week. Their offensive line for the last, 5 years feels like it has been absolute trash. So start working on that offensive line with that other pick in the first round.
The Giants have 6 and 17 in the first round.
Yeah.
If I were them, I'd go best offensive lineman in the draft at 6, and I would take at 17 either Daniel Jones or Drew Lock, whichever is preferred by your organization / available. I don't want Dwayne Haskins at 6. That's just me. We're getting oh so close to the draft. Had a lot of fun conversation about it. You want to slide in a phone call? Boy, you better hurry. 706-0111. Hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch, Corey Lynn Landry. Going to be laying down sound 8 until 11. No cover charge, just a good time. And I'm staring at 12 wings with the schwing sauce right in front of me. A couple of barrels of ranch ready for them. You can enjoy that with the live music, with the NFL draft, and more than 40 beers on tap. Always the perfect place to pass your next great time. The Tap Room River Ranch, 201 Settlers Trace Boulevard. Clint and I get to come back with a world shortest segment audition clip because the Astros have a weird clock. Don't forget, 6:35 is your pregame show. 7:10 first pitch, Astros hosting the Indians. So we'll be right back in, but oh so briefly. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out with you on a draft day Thursday on 103.7 The Game.
The Game is all over social media, and we want to interact with you. Tweet us at 1037 The Game and vote on our show's Twitter polls. Like 1037 The Game on Facebook. Comment on the biggest topics involving your favorite teams.
Incense.
Check out our video recaps and give us your feedback. Can't get enough live and local sports talk? Keep the conversation going online all the time with Acadiana's number one sports station.
Yes!
1037 The Game.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
1037 The Game.
Busy Thursday at the Taproom River Ranch, but what else is new? Bumper to Bumper Sports, in for the last time on 103.7 The Game. Your big news of the day with LSU baseball. No Cole Henry this weekend. The freshman from Alabama dealing with some elbow soreness joined the club. And so it will be Zach Hess on Friday night at the Alabama Crimson Tide. On Saturday, Eric Walker, and Sunday is TBA. Possible that Landon Marceau, who only pitched three innings Tuesday night against Lamar, could be in line for that Sunday start. So LSU baseball, just when one pitcher gets healthy, another one bites the dust, at least momentarily. Poor Paul Maneri, that has to be incredibly frustrating. The other big news, of course, it is the NFL draft. Day one of three of a seven-round draft begins tonight. First round coming at you at 7 o'clock tonight. Rounds two and three tomorrow night, and then four through seven on Saturday. Saints are not slated to select tonight. I'd say the chances of them trading up into the first round are less than 10%. Hey, that's in my book. Maybe if somebody they've got valued that highly is available, they get Froggy and Leap, but wow, I'm not sure what type of ammunition they would have. The 62nd overall pick, that and what? I don't think you're trading into the first round with 62nd overall and then a combination of your fifth and sixth rounders this year. So don't know that they make that move, but time will tell. I do know this should be a lot of fun, especially if Buffalo and the Jets swap places at 3-9. That could be the tip of the iceberg of a wild and woolly first round. So make sure that you enjoy it. I want to thank our guest, Hunt Palmer, Jeff Horchick. A lot of Q&A replay activity with Lynn Rollins as well. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. Indians at Astros, coming at you next from Minute Maid Park on 103.7 The Game.